Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
You know, doing okay for a hump day. Doing okay.
Doesn't the sunshine to make it so much better, though, than winter, in a way? Doesn't sunshine just kind of make everybody come alive? I think it's
We had a weird weather weekend. On Saturday, it was 109 degrees, so it was very hot here. And then Monday, it poured rain and wind and cold. Weird.
Wow, it's changing all over the world, isn't it? It's really weird.
Yeah.
You get hot, 109, I know, like, my mother lives in Vegas, and hot there, 109 is typical this time of year, but it's dry. Now in Maryland, oh my gosh, I mean, that would be, the humidity in the summer would just be horrible. Do you get a lot of humidity where you are?
You know, ours is pretty dry as well. So it's that's the good news, I guess, you know. But it was literally too hot to go swimming, which, you know, you put all this money and effort into keeping a pool ready for the 3 months
of summer. It can't be too hot to go swimming. I love warm pools. How could it be too hot to go swimming?
It was because you don't want to get out of the AC and walk out to the pool, man. You're like, oh,
right over
there.
Randy, are you serious?
So
oh my God,
we did, because it's a principle thing, you know. It's a matter of principle. Gotta.
Oh my
do
God!
It,
and I don't like the cold water. You know, they'll say the pool's heated to 85 and it's not warm enough for me. So I'd probably be in my glory. But
travel. Just before we get into our topic today, I know you travel quite a bit, and I've got a beef, and I want to throw this out even to our audience, and feel free. As we always say, to give us a call here on this first half of the show. The number 347-945-5428. How you see the Priceline, you know, ads pop up, you know, when you're on the internet, and it says, you know, $8, you know, so you click on the $8 and you go to Priceline and you say, you know, it says, enter your bid here. So I go, $8. You click on it and it says, your bid of $8 has a low probability of being accepted. Try $21.
And it took from where you already were, right?
Really?
Go ahead.
I just got a quote for $21 on another website, and I thought you're $8. But, you know, you're in sales, and I know you're probably pretty sensitive to the old bait and switch thing. And it just, to me, that felt like a bait and switch, man. And they draw you in with a low figure, and you spend all this time setting up an account, and then I guess they think you're going to keep doing it. But and then I posted on Facebook, and I asked if anybody's ever really gotten any deals on Priceline. And apparently there are more deals to be had with hotels than with car rentals, apparently. So
that's too funny. Yeah. I don't know. That bait and switch kind of would bug me a little bit. But, but they guarantee, I mean, they do, Travelocity is pretty good, some of the other ones. But, yeah, it's so funny. It's just like, you know, when you're – in ads, they're saying, you know, make it, like, tell everybody about it in the copy, make it long, make it long, make it long. And you're like, no, just go to the bottom and let me see this, right? I think it's funny, though, all those pop-ups, you know, get you into different screens, and then you get over there. And we get, you know, when you're starting to do this, and you're doing this, and then you're going, then some of it's interesting, right? So you'll start reading it. And, I'll tell you. My biggest thing is with the bait and switch is make sure I'm not on a fishing site, you know, so that I'm really on the site I started on and that I didn't get, like, pulled over to some site that's going to rip you off. You know, the P, what's it, P-H, fishing, P-H-I. S-H-I-N-G.
Oh, yes.
The fishing, you know, where they're really, like, you know, really going to steal from you. But, yeah, I'll tell you, this time of year, they, and with the deals, the one, it just makes me think of all these things when you tell me this stuff, but, you know, when they have, I just won't do it anymore, when it's like, it's only a dollar for 30 days. And after 30 days, if you don't like it, you can, well, or, you know, look, I don't want to start signing up for this monthly thing. And before you know it, you have a monthly thing, and it's all this stuff now.
Yeah, absolutely. They do that. It's just, and like you say, when you go to opt out of it, you can't get a hold of anybody, you know. Our lines are all busy right now, so try back, and you kind of forget about it. Before you know it, you're being billed $57 a month for something you're not using. And anyway, yeah, it's the wild frontier out here, man. A lot of people taking advantage of folks.
The only bad thing is for us people that are honest, it makes it hard on us because then everybody wonders if they don't know, you know, what are you guys doing? We got to check. It's like, I know it makes it difficult, doesn't it? Yeah, we could get into a lot of things about that. We should have a show sometime on this, the politics and the news. I had a lot of fun when we were talking right before the election.
Oh, man.
Now, some of the stuff that's going on, oh, my gosh, it's just been, it's like, are they really are getting away with this? This is, like, really amazing, you know?
Yeah,
so,
they are getting away with it. It's like they say one thing, and then they do another, and then there are no repercussions. But like you say, if we were to, like, forget to do our tax return and just say, oh, we're sorry, and no repercussions. Hey, oh well.
Yeah.
But here we go. We're onto it now. Here we go. But it's crazy. And I'll tell you, I'm. It makes you think about taxes. You know, and I know we're all supposed to pay our taxes. But I'll tell you, when you start seeing the abuse of our tax dollars, you know, and I know that it's happened way before Obama.
It's just a shame. It's just a shame. I really just don't know what's going to happen.
Government in general is just.
But we could have a whole show on all that. Boy, could we ever! These emails.
And
I got an interesting email this morning. I'll have to send you.
Good. Yeah, we should do that. We should kind of because it ties into really what you're talking about. Because here you are, you know, obviously for all these years, reputable, honest, you know. Real estate broker, and I think a lot of these things that happen when people get ripped off, they do hurt. Then, you know, the honest people who are helping people and doing a good job, and so it's an important thing to talk about. And I know, and I think people need a place to vent. I feel better already, you know, venting this morning. So thank you for letting me do that.
You're very, very welcome.
There we go.
So the topic of the show today, this morning, depending on what time zone you're in, is, you know, how to find real estate in these markets when the inventory is low and the shortage is there and there isn't anything there. When you're a buyer right now, I wouldn't say we're in a seller's market everywhere. I mean, we've had a long haul since, 2008, depending on what market you're in. But there's a lot of pocket markets right now where people are saying the inventory's low. They're outbidding properties, you know. You can't find something. And so it's like how to find a home when there is an inventory shortage.
Mm.
It really is easier than you think. Now, I'm going to ask this question of you, Randy, because – We do this back and forth, and you've been in radio forever, and I've been in the real estate. What do you think might be a way to find a home when the inventory is short? Because it really is easy. It's going to be our $2 question of the day.
I think the old-fashioned way, if you're in a small town, is drive around. But
drive around and knock on their door?
Or MLS. Or you're saying finding a home that's for sale that's not necessarily listed?
Well, I'm kind of giving you hints, but I'm not supposed to give you a hint. It's like right now, okay, say in Chico, you want to go buy another house, and you know exactly where you want to buy, but as soon as you go find, oh, there's a house that's on MLS, there's already five offers. So there's a shortage of inventory that's already sold. you know, anywhere. And you're having a lot of people are coming up against that. They're like, I only want a home in this certain building, or I want a place in this neighborhood, and I'm not able to find it. There's nothing on the market. And as soon as it's on the market, it's gone.
So did you say, was the hint
not
that you go and knock
hints,
on some
no.
doors? Do you just go and literally knock on the doors of some people and ask if
they
know?
Well, you said you could drive around, so that's what I'm
yeah.
saying. Did you mean like drive around and knock on their door, or what were you thinking? You
yeah.
were just meaning
yeah,
drive around
and
look for signs?
Yeah,
okay.
You're right, though. Knocking on the door, because you might find out stuff that you wouldn't find out otherwise, right?
Yeah.
You
gotta
know,
be careful,
I mean,
too.
Yeah, that's true. Well, so what is it? What's the secret there? What do you do?
So it's really easier than you think, and it's something. I mean, we had done it. I've done it in the 80s and 90s, and in the industry, you can. There's several different ways, and it's so simple. You could run an ad. I'm looking for a property in such and such. Price range
yeah.
in this neighborhood. If you know the ads are going to be in there, you could pass out flyers. Now, some of the rules with flyers are you have to make sure that you can do that in your area, because you can't put flyers into people's mailboxes, or then you're going to be charged postage, right? Or you could
yeah.
mail out flyers to their area. Years ago, we used to on an agent broker kind of little thing. I would literally do that. And then when somebody would call you and they want you to sell the property, but this is with a real buyer, not just to get a listing, and then say to them, hey, you know, I got your property sold so fast. Can we please put a sign up for advertising? And you still charge a good commission, so it's really a win-win situation all the way around. One thing with sellers, many times homeowners may get a notice like that and say, oh, you were just looking to get a listing. And so I believe in honesty. You know, I believe in if I say, and we've had to do it over the years because of the shortage of inventory. If I say, hey, we have a buyer that can pay up to $600,000 for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, da 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 in the specific neighborhood, we really mean it. That's just, but I know many people aren't going to believe that, or many people are going to say, oh, you guys are just trying to get a listing. You know, but. A buyer, and of course, safety reasons, people are going to be careful, but you as a buyer could actually send that out as well, right?
Hmm.
And send that out. I'm looking for a home in this area. You know, there's a shortage of inventory. And do you see how easy that is?
Yeah, I wouldn't even have thought of the ad, you know. I wouldn't even have thought of that. Or
I know the house down. Yeah.
The house down the street just sold, you know, very similar to ours, and they got their asking price, which, you know, is significantly higher than the last time I heard, you know, the comps on our street. So I guess it's improving, right? It sounds like, at least in Chico it is. I don't know.
No, well, absolutely. And, I mean, there's some people – I've seen people say in different areas they want to sell because – they're afraid that everything's going to tank again, because we have such high debt in this country that
yeah.
I don't know how long it can go.
Yeah.
And how long can it go with these interest rates so low? You know, I mean, it seems like the rates are going to have to go up at some point. So a lot of people are doing that. Now, you with your own house, I wouldn't. I mean, that's your own home that you'll keep forever and ever, years and years. So that's different. But yeah, so see, that is much easier than you would think. And there's many people that will sit and wait and wait and wait, hoping that
yeah.
something comes on MLS.
Yeah. Hoping
right?
and waiting. Yeah.
Yeah, instead of being proactive and doing something about it. Because a lot of people really do know what they want. They know where they want. They know what they want to be, you know. So.
Yeah, so
there's
if you
actually,
know, then just, yeah. That's good.
Yeah. But I thought it was funny when you said drive around the neighborhood. And I'm like, okay, knock on doors. But people do that, too. No, because knocking on doors, people people really do that, and it's also a good idea when, you know, in the industry. When agents are out showing properties and to buyers, and people are asking, what's the makeup of the neighborhood? What is this like? What is this like? Under licensing laws, we're not allowed to give our opinion. We can get in trouble.
Oh yeah,
and it's really a really difficult situation, because maybe we know the makeup of the community, but we're not even allowed to do that. I mean, you know, because so we have to, we would have to say, any agent broker would have to tell somebody that they can, you know, direct them to the information, like with, even with schools, is this a great school, you know, and everybody would want to say, yeah, it's a wonderful school, because then they may know firsthand, but they need to say under our licensing regulations, we're not allowed to give our opinion, but we can give you the links and the resources to find out that information. So when it comes to a somebody wanting to buy, it's a good idea for them to go hang out at the shopping center or go knock on doors and knock on the neighbor's doors and go, what do you like about the neighborhood? What don't you like about the neighborhood? Is there an association? Are they easy to get along with? How many children are in the neighborhood? A lot of people have children, and they want to know that there's more children in the neighborhood, you know? And the best way to do that is to knock on doors. Of course, there's a safety issue everywhere nowadays because people are paranoid both ways, right? You don't want to open your door. I don't open my door. I don't open my door for anybody. And if they don't can't tell me who it is and I know who it is, I don't open the door. I don't feel like that's my privilege. I don't have to open it. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, you say, who is it? But I mean, so anyhow, getting off the subject a little bit here, just bringing it back to how easy it is when you know where you want to find, it's easier than you think, you know? Or you may ask a real estate agent or broker to do it for you. If you don't want to do it yourself, you might say, this is where I want to be, but what would it take? You know, if we're and pretty much if you're going to want them to do that, you should commit to work with them because it is time and money. There's companies that'll do mailings for you. So you can, you know, Google the mailing companies and you can literally put a little postcard together, do it right online, and you can say, okay, I want you to mail to 300 homes from this address. Because you know you'll be, you know, circumferencing around that area that you want, right? Mm-hmm. And get them out there. Mm. So, but if it's really something you want and it's not coming up, it makes sense.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned something, and this is not necessarily off topic, but you mentioned, you know, asking a real estate agent to, you know, do some of that legwork literally for you, maybe walking the neighborhood or knocking on some doors, and that you should commit to them if you're going to ask them to do that. I know, much like real estate across the spectrum, the philosophies differ from brokerage to brokerage, but do most agents these days, do they ask for like an agreement where somebody would sign saying we're committing to you? Does that happen, or is that
there's a buyer broker agreement, and if they're wise, they absolutely do. But you still see, you know, there. I mean, I've heard here through the, you know, when I'm speaking to other brokers and agents, that they may not, but they should. I mean, I wouldn't want an agent to do that without having a signed agreement, because you want a commitment both ways. Now, somebody may know someone and say, okay, I'm not going to make you commit, you know, but there should be a commitment. I don't think most people get in the real estate industry as a hobby. I think to be in it and stay for the long haul, you have to love people. And maybe want the flexible schedule, have children, have many reasons for getting into it, maybe good in sales. But you have to love people, especially if you're going to do residential sales. And to work smart, you really should have an agreement. In answer to what you said, it goes all different ways. I mean, some people are too timid to ask for that agreement to be signed, which is a shame on them, because then the buyer can just go somewhere else and not owe any money at all. So there's nothing wrong. That would be just like, you know, Randy, you're going to put together a show for somebody. You're going to put together products for somebody. And how would you feel if you didn't have an agreement and you just said, okay, I'll do all this for you. And then later they say, okay, well, thanks. I really appreciate it. And I love the products. And thanks for giving them to me. But we've decided to use another producer.
Yeah, right? I've had that happen, actually.
You know, it just brought me up. It just made me think of Dan Kennedy, who's phenomenal. I mean, you know him. He's marketing genius, right, for years and years and years. And I remember hearing on one, I better not say, I don't want to be quoted because I might be wrong. It could be somebody else. I just have too many things in my brain after 27, 28 years. I remember hearing one time that it was pretty known in the advertising business. Now, quote unquote, we're not in the advertising business, so I can't say this verbatim, and if it's a fact, but that the huge companies would go for huge campaigns. I mean, and it could be millions of dollars, you know, that are going to be put on the table. And they would actually have the companies come in and give them their presentations and not give one dime, right? Then steal some of the different presentation ideas and then put together what they wanted. And, I mean, I heard that happens all the time years back. I don't know how it's done now. But do you know what? I just don't think that's the way to do it. So anyhow, in the buyer-broker agreement, the question you asked me is – people should do it, but not everybody's going to do it all the time. Or somebody may, you know, Randy, you may have a buddy in the real estate over there, and you both trust each other, and he's like, oh, Randy, don't worry about it right now. We'll get to that later, you know. It's yeah. not that everybody, but it's the subject should be broached. It's much smarter if people do it. We have a buyer-broker rebate program that our affiliates can offer, too, and those programs really do entail signing an agreement. Because there should be some commitment. Otherwise, it's not a wise move. Now, somebody may not want to sign an agreement, and that's a judgment call somebody's going to have to make on their end, whether they're going to do it or not. But if you get in and you, you know, for example, a situation like this, if you get into something and there's a – you get into it. I mean, it should be a win-win, right? That's what we all believe about in that win-win, don't we? I mean, we talk about it all the time where, you know, you really don't cheat yourself but it should be spelled out too. And if somebody's going to go and find the home for you and actually take the time, they can also, now you're not supposed to, under the solicitation laws, you know, it's funny how politicians are excluded. They get to call us all the time, you know, but we're not allowed to solicit. You know, the federal guidelines as far as calling people, because technically you could almost go and call them and just say, are you interested in selling this house? Because you really have a buyer. But then you have to make sure that these people aren't on the do not call list, you know. So in the old days, years and years ago, it was very easy to just pick up the phone and call a bunch of people if you have their numbers and just say, I just wanted to find out if you're interested in selling or anyone in your area is interested in selling. And that's not – in the very old days, we even did that just looking for business. You know, you would call people and ask maybe do a three-call survey. There's still a way, you know, it's not that you can't call anybody. It's just a matter of making sure you're following the guidelines. But the show today is about if you're looking for that property and you can't find it because there's a shortage of inventory, and it really is. It's almost like, wow, that's so easy, and it makes so much sense. And so many people don't think about doing some of the simple things that are just the nuts and bolts and get out there and find it, right? It's not that hard.
Yeah, I think real estate is one of those areas, and I know, like with the internet and travel and buying a car, and there's a lot of kind of categories for businesses where the internet has, you know, leveled the playing field, I guess. And I guess to some degree, real estate is as well, but there's still a huge, huge need to know what you're doing and what you're getting into. And I think a lot of these real estate investor folks, you know, you hear them all the time, you know, with the infomercials and how easy it is to get in and buy and sell and flip and da, 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 da. And, you know, I don't know. Again, we talked earlier in the show about bait and switch, and I'm not saying these guys are, but there's a lot more to buying a house and selling a house than people realize. And people who make it sound really easy, I think they set people up for, you know, getting themselves in trouble. And there is a need for a real estate agent and broker. And again, especially with the menu programs like Realty Universal offers, where
I really do. And this isn't a sales pitch. Randy's being honest about what he feels. You know, that's true, right? I believe it's true.
Yeah.
I had a client in Hawaii call me recently and was telling me that he had just went to a seminar and wanted my opinion. And I didn't recognize the name of the company I asked or the people that were given it. I thought maybe it was somebody else who I was familiar with, and it wasn't. And he said they were kind of – you had to go in, and they were pitching, for them to sign up for this $2,700 course. And then they said, and once you do the course, then we're going to tell you X, Y, and Z. And they kind of wanted them to work with them. And you know, and I said, you know, he was asking my opinion, and I said – any education is education, and it's important to learn. You know, you just have to be careful because, you know, if under licensing laws or if you're not licensed, you know, you're still obligated to do certain things. And so, you know, you never know, you know, if it's good or not good until you, and that's where it's good to know the reputation of who you're dealing with. And lots of times the pros, like I would consider myself a pro in the real estate industry, you know, on that side, you know, on the other side, lots of times pros end up giving the store away more because we take for granted what we know and don't think it means as much. But these simple things that, like, just like this today, this is so easy to do, but sometimes people don't think about it, you know. Once you tell them, they go, oh, yeah, I could think, you know, but they don't think about it. So I think it's really important, whatever you're going to get into, to look and see what the end result is, or is there a money-back guarantee if you're not satisfied, et cetera, things like that. Doing something like this, finding a property for somebody, specifically having people do mailings. There's the cost of the mailings, the postage, the time, the phone calls, follow-ups. I mean, you can clearly see where there's time spent, so something should be whether the person pays mm-hmm. and says, I'm going to pay you to do this, or, you know, you're the only one we're going to buy through. Now, these properties that are not on the market, the seller has to be willing to pay a commission in order to for that agent or broker to be paid too, right? So there's situations there where they may not get paid. You as a buyer, Randy, if you wanted to run your own ad and you were going to find a seller, you might both save that commission on the middle end, and you might save it buying it. They may save it selling if they're willing to sell at a fair price. You know, some people might want more, you know. So those are issues that you don't know until you get into it. Of course, an agent or a broker is going to make sure that the seller knows up front that if they put you two together, there's going to be some fee that's paid. And it could be a situation, I mean, a buyer may want to spend a lot of money somewhere and be willing to pay the buyer's commission. So all these little things need to be worked out. But on the simple side of it, you know, you want to buy a house in a certain neighborhood and you don't find any, put it out there. Because you'd be amazed how, or please let us know if anyone else wants to. You know, people talk, they have get-togethers, cookouts, parties, they talk in the store, they talk when they're walking their dogs, you know, and, oh, no, wait a minute, this person just left me their number and they're interested in buying. Really, I'm thinking about selling. It's that simple, you know. And it's not, so we're just about finished the first half of our show.
It's just about
We always try to make it, we always try to boil it down to Reader's Digest, you know, so where I go, like, this is so easy to talk about, but I think people miss it. And
even as you're wrapping it up here, I there are two or three other questions I have, and I'll just save them for next time. But they, you know, as you share, I mean, this is just really good information for people to know about and to understand the relationship and all that goes into, you know, being a what a real estate agent and or broker, you know, what they go through. It reminds me, you know, you're kind of building a relationship with somebody, and so it's almost, I don't know if this is a really good analogy, but you know how people don't want to do, even though you might be inclined to, you don't want to maybe have your fiance sign a prenup because that would somehow tarnish your love and trust for her. You know, it's almost that kind of feeling.
Are you
like
serious? You wouldn't want somebody to do that? I would never get married without a prenup. Really?
Well, of course you. But I'm just saying.
But it's funny because it's all perception. It's how you look at it, right?
Yeah, but I mean, a real estate agent, of course, a broker is building a relationship with somebody who may or may not end up, you know, being a customer, may or may not. It's kind of one of those things where you know, by mentioning, hey, you know, could you do this agreement? Say you're, you know, I think there's a way to say it, and if you've built enough of a good relationship with them, you know, it probably wouldn't offend them.
Well, you know, and it works both ways. You know, a person may say, why do I want to sign this with you when we haven't worked together yet, and I don't know if you're going to do what you tell me you're going to do, right? They may say, hey, I don't want to commit to you. I agree.
Yeah.
And that's where you can have cancellation clauses, or you can spell out and say, okay, we're going to do this amount of work, and this is what's going to be done, and we're going to prove to, you know, show you this. And then I think you're right that many times it doesn't get signed in different situations, but But the first time somebody really doesn't get paid because someone else took them through somewhere, I think they're going to feel a little differently about it. Yeah.
Wow. Another just full half hour flew by. Again, 347-945-5428. It's the number, Realty Universal Radio. And again, the website, realtyuniversal.com. You've been listening to Natalie Mullenix, president, founder of Realty Universal. And you can go to her website. There's so much information there, and find out again about the menu systems. We kind of hinted about those, but it's a great way for you to pick and choose. Really, as we said at the beginning of the show, Realty Universal believes fundamentally that you should have choices, and you can pick and choose, you know, how you want to have your relationship with a real estate agent or broker. So all of that information at realtyuniversal.com. And it is time for the second half of our show. And our guest this half hour is Elaine Clark. She's the Promotions and Business Development Coordinator at Celebration Radio in California. She's a mom. She's involved in ministry. She's an avid book reader. I'm excited to hear, you know, what new book she's reading, and she's taken some time out of her busy day to talk about being a mom and having a career and being in ministry and all of that good stuff. Elaine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Hi, Elaine. Great to come have you.
Thank you.
So I have a feeling you two will hit it off, and I may just end up playing some game on the computer while you chat amongst yourselves, but because I know you guys are kind of, you know, I know both of you, and I think you guys are going to have a lot to share. But Elaine, so let's go first things first, and talk a little bit about the family. Are you guys still doing swim meets? Is Savannah still swimming?
Yeah, so I have four kids, and they're all involved in something right now. So we are literally running around town. I'm pretty sure the fast food workers know us by name and know our orders before we even pull up to the window right now. So there is my mom confession for the day. I have not cooked very much in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Nice.
So, yeah. Nice. Or the crock pot is my friend. I will admit that, too. So we stick stuff in the crock pot and hope that it turns
out by the
time we're done. So I've got four kids. My daughter's involved in swim and softball, and then my three boys are doing softball. And literally within 2 weeks of the baseball season ending, then football preconditioning starts for my son and my daughter for cheerleading, and we'll be doing this all over again. So, yeah, so we've got about a two-week window where things are a little bit mellow at home. So I'm looking forward to that.
How old are your daughters so I can get a gauge on this? How you must be swamped.
Yeah, well, I have one girl and three boys. So my daughter is 12, going on 25, as I'm sure most moms of girls can relate.
Yeah.
And then my boys are, my son just turned 11 on Saturday, and then my other boys are 9 and 7.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah, we're in the thick of it. We're in the thick of it.
Wow. You're in the thick of it. Wow. That's awesome.
No, it's a great time.
So it's
a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of fun.
Well, and boy, that's a great segue. You must be in radio or something. But to kind of then overlay that busyness to give everybody that idea of how busy you are, as a mom, and then to know that you are also you have a career. You're in promotions and development, business development at a radio station. And how do you juggle all that? What's the secret there to doing that all and doing it well? Or is that possible?
It really is possible. And I think the key is to have someone who is willing to pick up the slack where it's needed at the times that it's needed, whether it's at the office or it's at home. One of the things that my husband and I have kind of struggled with a little bit, just because I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years, our struggle is I just did everything because it was faster and easier. Well, now my kids are a little older, and they should be able to do some of the chores that kids are, at that age can do, taking out the garbage, emptying the dishwasher, that sort of thing. So now I'm starting to try and implement some of that stuff to them and delegate that to them, because if you don't have someone that's able to basically look out for you, things can fall apart really quickly.
Amen.
Unfortunately, really, and it's for me, it happens to be my husband. I know there's a lot of single moms that work and still have their kids involved in stuff, and they do it fabulously, and they all deserve a giant medal, gold medal for that. For me, there's no way I could do it and do it well without my husband, because he's a huge support to me in all my aspects. You know, he encouraged me to take my job when it came up 3.5 years ago now, and I had a fabulous mentor that helped me through all of that, and so that was a really important part of it. But I have to say, if I wasn't working, and my schedule is very flexible, I have an amazing job where my schedule is flexible, but I could completely fill my days with mom stuff, and I could completely fill my days with the job stuff. So if I'm not careful, it could be 8 o'clock at night, and something that I could, didn't have time to do earlier on in the day, the kids want me to sit down and read with them or watch a movie with them, and I'm like, hang on a second, just got to finish up this email really quick, stuff like that. If you don't have supportive people around you, that could get out of hand. So it's critical to keep an eye on both sides of that.
Your time management must be incredible. So do you actually have lists of who does what?
I do keep lists, but my iPhone is my best friend, aside from my husband, because, having a calendar thing that reminds you, oh, my goodness, I was supposed to pick up, this for this event, or I need to make sure that this stuff gets packed in the car before this event. This promotion needs me to call and verify that they have Wi-Fi, that sort of thing. And sometimes while I'm driving, I have a 45-minute commute on the days that I go into the office, which is a full day. And so I usually spend that time, talking to Siri. She and I go back and forth a lot, scheduling things that, remind me to tell this person that, or, that kind of thing. But there are definitely things that I do on specific days. I always do that, and I always do that. And so that by the end of my week, I can look at it and say, okay, this was a successful week.
And I wonder,
does your company let you work virtually, or do you have to go into the office?
Right now I am doing a little bit of both. I was able to get secured for me an office that's within 10 minutes of my house. And so most days I go in there. And then when that doesn't work, like during the summertime or when I, childcare gets goofed up, or, my mom helps me with my kids sometimes because she's close to me. And so if she's on vacation, then I can definitely work remotely. And I go in the office once a week.
That's fantastic.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So on the working at home, I imagine that's where the boundaries can get blurred.
Definitely.
I'm learning, one of my coaches has been working with me on time blocking and sticking to it and saying, 9 to 11 every morning you're doing this, and nothing but nothing except death or dismemberment, interrupts that, but I imagine that's difficult when you're at home.
Yeah.
Well, the kids in the summer, especially because they're home,
right?
Like, that's got to be a bit of a challenge. Yeah,
definitely. And I think sometimes too, you have to set exactly a goal for what you know needs to be accomplished that day, so that if something really out of the ordinary that isn't death or dismemberment comes into play, you can say, okay, at least I was able to accomplish these critical items on my list, because the rest of it can wait until, 2 o'clock or something. I can still feel good about what I've accomplished. Otherwise, you can get really hard on yourself. You have to have some flexibility with that. There have been some days, where I'll be working even from my remote office, and I'll get a phone call from the school. Your daughter's shorts are too short, or something like that, which, good luck finding shorts for your 12-year-old that are appropriate anyways. So then I have to run to the school really quick. And so, that's where being really conscious of your time management those first few hours of the day I've never been a morning person, so sometimes that can be kind of difficult for me. It takes me a little while to get into the swing of the day, but if I can be really attentive to those first moments.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Yeah. So that's the mommy side and integrating the business. Let's camp for a few minutes on what you do, and I think a lot of people are fascinated with the behind the scenes of radio, and you're promotions and business development coordinator. So promotions is pretty detail stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it can be, boy, just that alone, that can be mm-hmm. pretty frenetic and pretty crazy, right?
Well, most definitely, and honestly, it's the most detailed part of the job, I would say, but it's also the most fun part of my job. It's absolutely the part that I love. I can completely lose myself in that part of it. In fact, today is the Merced County Fair, and so our station is promoting that. So, working with band management and tour manager and making sure that, we have a few minutes with the band beforehand and working all that kind of stuff out, that is definitely a whole lot of fun. There are a lot of details, making sure that you have, like I said a little bit earlier, making sure that there's Wi-Fi accessible and making sure that you have enough water for everybody and making sure that, who it is that you're going to talk to when you get to the event so that if there is a problem, you know exactly where to find them. But it's a lot of fun. Then the business development part of it is really just connecting with people on a one-on-one basis and developing relationships with people, which I'm sure you can agree with wholeheartedly in your profession as well. If you don't have a relationship with somebody, it's really hard to develop any kind of a business, business side of that relationship. You can't go to Joe's Diner and ask him for $20 if you've never even talked to him. You don't just go borrowing money from people that you don't know, even on a personal basis. On a personal basis, you don't just find somebody at the football game and borrow $5 from them if you've never developed a relationship with them. So you can't go ask him for the moon when it comes time with that if you haven't started that relationship ahead of time.
It's not a one-call close where you walk in and just walk out with a check. You've got to, like you say. And I think in that regard, Natalie, it is somewhat similar to real estate in that you've got to build a relationship to where somebody knows, trusts, and likes you, right? And that takes time, right?
Yeah.
With what you're doing, you have to get sponsorships then, right, for your fundraising, or you actually have
all
that?
It only got implemented a couple of years ago. The station that I work for is a listener-supported station, and so that was basically who we were getting our funding from was individuals. And then a couple of years ago, it was implemented that we would be able to take underwriting from businesses and nonprofits. And so
really?
That is,
so do you have to be a nonprofit to do that, right? The radio station has to be a nonprofit to do it, or no?
The radio station has to be a nonprofit to do it.
Okay.
To be able to get underwriting like that. It's kind of like NPR. A lot of people are familiar with how NPR does their underwriting and stuff. So that's kind of how it works for us as well. So, we come in contact with, churches and businesses. And in light of the idea of developing a relationship, I met a couple of guys that are starting this medical facility and by extension, a clinic where they're going to teach, where it's going to be a medical school for like phlebotomy and some just really basic medical assisting type jobs. I met him about a year and a half ago. We've corresponded back and forth, and just now has he signed on to be an underwriter for the radio station. And so it literally took a year and just checking up on people. Hey, how's things going? Did you guys close on your building? How's that working out for you? That kind of a relationship, just checking in and really trying to develop a friendship even. And it sounds weird because ultimately you'd like to see them become a partner with you. But that really is what it is.
Yeah, I think
you're really multitasking and having to do a lot of aspects of what you do at work and at home, pretty much, right? You're pretty
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
good at that.
So let's segue. So those are kind of the mom and the working thing. You are pretty hip and happening on the social media world. What's cool that somebody like me, you know, could actually wrap my brain around? Because I know there's a lot of that stuff I don't even want to think about. But what's cool in the new virtual
I'm in the same place, and we need to do more of it. Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's funny because, Randy, you and I have had this conversation that there's so much on social media. You could literally spend all day and not be able to tap into even a tenth of the information that you want. I mean, you can skip through all the stuff that you don't want. But even of the stuff that you want to look at and review for later, I mean, I know in some cases it is someone's full-time job to just be the social media person there.
Mm-hmm.
So I try and pick and choose. There are a number of people that I really trust, and so when they tweet out or Facebook something that they're excited about, I will make a concerted effort to get information on what that is. And for one thing, there's a church in Nashville, Tennessee, and they have a number of Christian artists that are on radio right now at the station that I work at. That I'm familiar with, and they said someone put out a tweet that said that there was this book out on iTunes, and they were giving it away for free. Well, anytime you can get a book for free, you pretty much want to jump on it. You don't want to miss out on that opportunity because books are like 10 and 15 bucks if you know. So if you tried to just go and buy every book that sounded interesting, you'd probably never even get to it and waste your $15. So. But one that I'm really excited about, I just started reading it last night, so I can't really tell you a whole lot about it, but it's called Beyond Ordinary, and it's by Justin and Trisha Davis of Nashville. And they had a, you know, pretty great marriage, and then, you know, 5 or 10 years goes by, and it's just like you wake up in the morning, you deal with life, and you go to bed at night, and all of a sudden you realize that you are married to your friend and there's nothing there that's really exciting anymore. And so I've been married for going on 16 years this year.
Wow.
And we've got 4 kids and we're busy with life. So it's super easy to put all of our focus and all of our conversations on all of the details that, you know, make sure this person's there by this time and make sure you pick this up.
Oh, yeah.
And, hey, you know, I've got to work tomorrow, so make sure that, you know, that this person has what they need. And so it's really easy to get into that, and all of a sudden you're in ordinary marriage that you never expected. And so I'm really excited to get into that book. And even the first part of the introduction, the husband and wife are sharing the authorship here, so they're coming at it from their individual perspectives. And in the first part, he talks about how he and his wife committed to doing a marathon, and she was training 3 days a week and increasing her miles every time, you know, like every couple of weeks she'd add another mile to it. And they trained for 3 years for this. And he was just kind of like, every couple of days he'd go out there and run 3 miles. They get in the middle of this marathon, and at mile 4, he's like, wow, I just hit my personal best. I've never done 4 miles. And she's like, what? And
wow.
So she's like, hey, if I can do this, I could totally finish this out. I didn't think it was going to be this easy. Well, at mile 10, his entire muscle mass just collapses, and he has no idea how he's going to finish this out. And he's just, you know, talking about how even in marriage, you know, you do the pre-marriage counseling and you do the workbooks and you go to the conferences for newly marrieds and stuff, but you're really only training for those first 3 miles instead of the last 10.
Wow.
I think that should be a prerequisite before people can get married, but it's not everywhere. I mean, many churches require it, but, you know, people can go in and they don't have to train at all or read anything. But, wow.
That's good.
It's really amazing. Another one is called Start. It's by John Acuff. He's a self-starter. He's an entrepreneur. He does all this great stuff. I'm talking about punching fear in the face and just doing what you are passionate about doing. And, Randy, I know you can relate to this. I love this idea, and I think that you should Can you guys hear that crazy going on around me?
Yeah, what was that?
Someone found out I was talking to Randy Zachary, and so he decided that's Ken Thompson.
Oh, Kit Thompson.
Tell
Ken to go fly a plane.
Fan. He said, go fly a plane.
Go fly a plane or something.
So that's another book. You know, if you're passionate about something and you're trying to figure out how to get that going, I would encourage you to read that book. And then one last one, and then I'll stop talking for a minute, let you guys chime in. I haven't read it. I've pieced out bits and bites of it because my husband read it, and it's called Quiet. And the author is Susan Cain. It's at Costco. We just happened to find it at Costco. We weren't shopping for any books
really?
About this kind of thing or anything.
It's about introverts. Yeah.
And I'm an extrovert. If that's not coming through there, I am an extrovert. My husband is definitely the definition of an introvert. And I have four children, and I have one introvert. And it's really hard. It was really hard for me to figure out why I couldn't connect with him. And, you know, my husband being an introvert, he's like, you can't, you know, there are certain things that aren't working because of my personality versus the way his personality works. So this book, I haven't, you know, like I said, I've only read bits and pieces of it, and he's read parts of it to me, and I'm like, all of a sudden, I see people completely differently. I see them as introvert, extrovert, and there's a kid that goes to a youth group that my daughter goes to, and he's an introvert, and I've known him for a couple of years now, and we hosted a swim party last weekend, and he was pointed out to be part of this goofy game. And he had to put on, in his swim trunks, he had to put on a hula skirt and a coconut bra and dance around like a fool. And I could tell, I looked over at my husband and I said, he's dying inside, isn't he? I mean, he's literally dying a little bit inside right now. Whereas my daughter's an absolute extrovert. She makes friends everywhere she goes. And she's just thinking this is the best thing ever. She's having a great time. This coconut bra looks great. This hula skirt is my color. I mean, and I'm like, this poor kid is dying inside. I mean, it helps you to look at people in such an incredibly different light. I think everybody should read it because we all know somebody that's like that. And we can't figure out why we can't connect with them. That's why.
It's called Quiet.
It's called Quiet by Susan Cain.
At Costco.
I remember when my son was young. I don't remember the book names books, but reading about different personality types you knew how to deal with because we're so different in different ways, you know? It's interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's the name of the radio station that you're working with? Is it?
The radio station I work at is called Celebration Radio, KAMB, and we have a live stream, we have an app, and we have a Facebook page, and we have a Twitter that I attempt to manage. I pay a lot more attention to mine often and forget about the radio station, but we're slowly moving in that direction of trying to just, you know, where our audience is, you know, the 35 to 54 year olds. They're not necessarily the Twitter aficionados that the younger kids are. So I think I've neglected it, you know, more than I should have, but it's getting there. Yeah,
sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Well, you could, like you say, I mean, you could, and stations in big markets, you know, do have, like, full-time social media people. And you're right.
You need one.
You do. And like you say, it's a little different when, you know, you have an older demographic and or older staff that, you know, I think I do the Twitter thing from time to time.
Uh-huh.
So I'm one of those 50 plus people, 50 somethings that I'm into it somewhat.
Yeah.
But here's where I drew the line. I remember the day I went, okay, I Facebook, I tweet. I'm not going to do Instagram. I don't need that hip to do Instagram
You don't like to do selfies? That's the big thing. Everyone takes
pictures
of themselves and puts it on Instagram. Yeah.
Which one is it, selfies?
I'm a face for radio. I have a face for radio, so selfies, not impressive. Taking pictures of yourself, is that what that is? With the iPhone? Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
And then you can do
I saw a we've got a – let's see. Let me check on the time here. I think we're still good. Looks like we got about 4 minutes. Yeah. I saw a video, and I will pass it along to you, but it makes fun of all the pictures we take on Instagram, you know, and it just makes fun of the things that people
yeah.
take pictures of. You know,
yeah.
look at my feet. I'm at the beach. You probably know that because I took a picture of the airplane wing an hour ago.
Oh,
yeah. You know,
oh,
and, in other words, just the nonstop. And you got, you know, I've got
yes.
enough pictures of my kids on my Facebook that you want to murder me, and just
yeah.
it's just mm. hilarious. But
yes.
But it has become.
But you remember
this whole
when you drew
of,
the line?
What's that?
I said you actually drew the line somewhere.
At Instagram, yeah, I just
yeah.
that's where I went. You know, I'm not, I don't, you know, I don't
yeah.
need that. And my son, you know, my daughter works at AT&T, and both of my sons are very, of course, in the middle of all that, and
uh-huh.
they'll come home and show me all the cool apps, and I'm like, uh-huh, cool, yeah, that's cool, yeah, wow, that is really cool, but I just I'm not interested, man. I'm like I tweet, I Facebook, what do you want from me, you know?
Yeah.
But you're right, and the problem is I'm you know, when you talk about five love languages, you know, mine is words of affirmation. So when I post on Facebook, I'm essentially trolling for affirmation. I'm essentially trolling for people to like me, you know, by posting the likes, right? So I'll check back, man, especially when I think should get likes. How many likes do I have? Oh, only five. Oh, man, you know. And it's just this kind of a weird dynamic
mm-hmm.
that I find myself,
yeah.
you know, with social media.
Yes.
kind of
yes.
doing that. So, well, anything else God's talking to you about? We got like 2 minutes. Anything else you want a parting shot? I just, I always enjoy talking to you, and I know that you've always got something kind of new and fresh and exciting, and you've already added a lot of value to our lives with these books, and I think your encouragement to moms that you can
Thanks.
Do it. You
yeah.
can have it all, you know?
Oh, most definitely. I remember, I'll just say this last thing. I remember when I was offered the job that I have today. Like I said, I was home for 10 years and just didn't have any need for, I mean, obviously we all could use a little extra money, but that wasn't my primary reason for accepting the position. And I emailed my dad and I said, Dad, I don't know if I can do this. Because my husband already told me that I could do it. And, you know, he counts, definitely, but I just needed to hear it from somebody else. And I said, Dad, I don't think I can do this. How am I going to do laundry, do dinner, work this job, and still feel like I'm, you know, I always felt like I was just supposed to be a mom. That's always what I wanted to do. And mm-hmm. my dad said, I think you can do it, and I think you can do it well. And so I just, you know, if you come across someone that looks like they're struggling, anybody that knows Randy knows that he's, for, at least for me, he's an amazing encourager, and you just mm-hmm. kind of hold on to those words, and they matter. And so if you see someone that's struggling, I would just encourage them. Just let them know that you can do it, and you can do it well, because you're passionate
yeah.
about it, and that's, and it's important. And, you know, if you're passionate about it, all you sometimes need is just that little extra push.
That's good. That's really good. The power of our words to make or break somebody's day, right? I mean,
see.
And especially
so
somebody who's struggling with, you know, a decision, and to be able,
right.
and to get that blessing, not only from just anybody, but from your dad was,
yeah.
was a double blessing, because so many,
absolutely.
So many daughters don't get that kind of affirmation and blessing from their dads. So.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Elaine Clark.
Excellent.
Wow.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm just
yeah.
Just
I'm fired up.
Thank
I want to, is your, Is that station you're working at hiring? I'd love to work there. It sounds awesome.
Celebration
sure
Radio.
There's always
sounds
room.
Awesome. It does sound awesome.
Awesome.
Well,
hey, well, thanks,
guys. I really
and,
appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, hug those kids and that good-looking husband of yours, and you know, say hi to everybody for us.
Will do.
God, it was so
Thanks,
great
Lane.
To have you on. It was exciting and encouragement and inspiration to other women out there, too, to be able to just go out there and make it happen.
Absolutely.
And
thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
We wrap up so quick.
Bye.
Everybody out there, I just want to wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.